Good morning. Y'all can hear me?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay. United we stand, but divided we fall. This line, this phrase, I know it's been heard for a long time and has been a phrase throughout history that we're familiar with, but specifically, the example I want to focus on today was this phrase, "United we stand, divided we fall," was a promotional line slash motto for the box office hit Captain America Civil War. Now, for those of you who might not know that movie, that's fine. I'll give some brief context about what the movie's about. Essentially, the basic story of Captain America Civil War was Captain America, the leader of the Avengers, which is a group of superheroes, was having a bit of an issue with another hero, Iron Man. And essentially, throughout this movie, we see that the team, the Avengers, is split in half, one led by Captain America and one led by Iron Man, both with differing views on a certain issue that's going on. And because of that, both sides go to war with each other, battling it out, and just causing a lot of issues, not only within that world, but within their team. But back in 2016, when this movie was coming out and it was being promoted, this line, "United we stand, divided we fall," was everywhere. There wasn't a poster, a trailer, a teaser. There wasn't anything that this movie didn't, that wasn't promoted, that didn't have this line, "United we stand, divided we fall." And I remember back in 2016, when I was a sophomore in high school, I was so excited seeing this. At the time, they were promoting this idea as like, which side are you on? Who will you choose to be on your team? Which team would you choose to be on? And I was all a part of it. But of course, as a sophomore, I didn't really think about the bigger implications. And maybe you didn't if you remember the movie. All I remember is going to the movie and having a great time watching the film. But you might be sitting there and asking yourselves, like, well, what does this whole idea of, you know, united we stand and divided we fall have to do with us today? It was just a movie. You know, there's no reason to believe that the disunity, the disruption, the hurt feelings, and the people that got hurt in that movie due to their disagreements could happen to me today. There's no way it could happen to my life, to my relationships. It could happen in my church. Well, I hate to burst your bubble, and I hate to be the one to say this, but that's not reality. If we had time today, I'm sure we could share stories of families, relationships, of churches we've gone to, or other businesses that we've faced disunity and division, and how the people involved in those things got hurt. Maybe you got hurt. But instead of focusing on the negatives of that, I want to focus on the positivity and the power that unity has, not only in our own lives, but today as a church of Jesus Christ. The purpose of this lesson this morning is to see the many aspects and benefits of unity and to ask ourselves the questions, how can we live in a church united in today's world? Are we doing that? And our first thing we're going to see today is that unity brings strength. Now, before we jump into that, we got to define what unity means. Unity is this idea of being together or as one with someone or with something for the benefit of not only ourselves, but for God and his kingdom. Become whole instead of separate. Again, I'm going to say that. Becoming whole instead of separate. With that being said, that's what unity is. And if you have your Bibles, please turn to Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Again, this first aspect we're looking at is that unity brings strength. Now, when it comes to an offensive or defensive situation or problem, I think it's pretty much agreed upon that there's strength in numbers. Whether those numbers, especially if those numbers are of one mind and of one goal and of one purpose, there is nothing that can take down that group of people that are together in strength. And we see that in Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. It says, "Now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have given Jericho into your hands with its king and mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all the men of war going around the city once. Thus shall you do for 6 days. Seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. And on the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times. And the priests shall blow the trumpets. And when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city will fall down flat. And the people shall go up, everyone straight before him. Now this is a story I'm sure a lot of us are familiar with. There's a song from VBS. I know it's a story I grew up listening to all the time. But if you don't know, for some context, Jericho was a city that was unattainable. They had this giant wall surrounding the city that was impenetrable. Nothing could get through it. Didn't matter how strong you were. Jericho was a city you could not beat or overcome. But here, from the first five verses we read in Joshua, God is saying differently. He said, no. You're going to claim Jericho for my sake. And this is what you're going to do. And he gives them these instructions, you know, to march around the city for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, you're going to march around it seven times. Then there's going to be ram's horns blown. And then you're going to shout. And then what's going to happen? The wall will fall. Those were the instructions God gave. And everyone had a part to play. And that's what's important. If any one of those people, if any one of the soldiers, the priests, didn't do their part or follow the instructions completely, I'm of the belief that the wall wouldn't have fallen down. But it's because they were one, of one mind, and followed the instructions. Together, the walls will fall. And we see that moving forward in verses 15 through 17. So same chapter, but verses 15 through 17. And on the seventh day, they rose early at the dawn of day. So they've been following the instructions so far that God has commanded them. And now it's the seventh day. And on the seventh day, and they marched around the city in the same manner seven times. And it was only on that day that they marched around the city seven times. And at the seventh time, when the priests had blown the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, shout. Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And the city and all that's within it shall be devoted to the Lord for destruction. Only Rahab, the prostitute, and all who are with her in her house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. But you keep yourselves from the things devoted to destruction, lest when you have devoted them, you take any of the devoted things and make the camp of Israel a thing for destruction and bring trouble upon it. So we're on the final day. And remember, there were specific instructions on the seventh day, and they're doing it, and they're all together. They're following the instructions, everyone playing their part. And then what's the result of that? Verse 20. So the people shouted, and the trumpets were blown. And as soon as the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted a great shout. And the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, and every man straight before him, and they captured the city. Unity brings strength. If everyone hadn't played their part and they weren't together in a unified front and didn't follow God's instructions, the wall that seemed impenetrable, it wouldn't have fallen down. But since they did do it together, the wall fell and they took and captured the city. We also see this idea of unity and strength in Matthew chapter 7. Please turn with me there to Matthew chapter 7, verses 27 to 29. Matthew chapter 7. Verses 27 through 29. For context, we're right at the very end of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is giving the Sermon on the Mount, and he's finally concluding it. Well, excuse me. We're going to start in verse 24. Excuse me. Verse 24 through 27. So again, he's finishing the sermon, and he ends it with this analogy. Another analogy in another story we're pretty familiar with. Jesus says, "For everyone who then hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock." Then he contrasted. He said, "And anyone or everyone who does not hear these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now you might be asking yourself, where in the world is unity mentioned in this verse, Gabe? Well, just like we established in Joshua, there's strength in unity. And if Jesus here is saying at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, if he's saying to these individual people, if you yourself hear these words of mine and act upon them, your foundation will be like of a rock. Nothing can bring it down. It doesn't matter what storm comes, you will be so strong. And then he says, but if any of you individually don't listen to my words, you will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. The storm will come and you will fall. And so I can't help but think, guys, if that's the potential of just one of us who listens to Jesus' words, imagine as a church, all of you guys here in this room, if all of us listen to Jesus' words, how strong our foundation together would be. It doesn't matter what storm, it doesn't matter what obstacles we as a church face today, but if we're united together, our foundation won't ever fall. We won't ever fall. We'll be strong. Unity brings strength because when united we stand, the stronger we are together. Now, number two, unity brings fellowship. Now, before we dive into that idea, let's define fellowship. What does fellowship mean? I don't know about you guys, but growing up, I always heard about fellowship. We always had a fellowship meal, which we would always come together on a Sunday afternoon, and we'd have lunch together. Or it's like, let's praise and have fellowship with one another. But what does fellowship really mean? Well, maybe in a worldly sense, fellowship can mean this idea of having a friendly association with someone, especially if they have similar interests. It could also mean this idea of companionship, whether with one person or a group of people. Kind of like in the movie Fellowship of the Ring, in the Lord of the Rings series. This idea that a group of companions with a similar goal, which in that movie is to what? Destroy the One Ring, comes together and then pushes forward with that goal. That's the idea of fellowship. But in a more biblical sense, if we look at fellowship, fellowship is so much deeper than that. It's this idea that there's a commonality and a relationship that we have with one another that is so deep, with love, with connection, and companionship, that we all have our one goal. That one goal being to praise God. It's this idea of relationship and, once again, companionship with one another that is directly connected to this unity, to this idea of unity in many ways. So that's kind of the idea of fellowship as we break it down, especially biblically. Now, please turn with me to Acts chapter 2, verses 44 through 45. Again, that is Acts chapter 2, verses 44 through 45, where we see this idea of unity bringing fellowship in action. Again, verses 44 through 45, Acts chapter 2, 44 through 45. Again, for some context, this is the day of Pentecost. Peter has just given this a fantastic, amazing sermon, and 3,000 were just added to the church on that day. And so this is kind of the aftermath of all of that happening. So remember, it's the day of Pentecost. Verse 44 through 45, it reads, "And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need." We see here in this verse the example and action of fellowship at its best. We see that everyone who was just baptized on that day, all that 3,000 had come together. They all had everything in common. And they were sharing their things. They're sharing their possessions. They were distributing. They were giving their things away to all that needed something. To everyone who needed or who had a need that needed provided for. So through this idea of unity, we see fellowship. And through that fellowship, we see care. We see love. We see needs being provided. And then if we move forward, if we go to Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25. Hebrews 10, verses 24 through 25. We continue to see fellowship growing and happening from unity. Verses 24 through 25, it reads, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. In this passage in Hebrews, it's saying, let us consider stirring up one another. Let us see the benefits of meeting together. Let's not neglect it. Because when we're all together, we stir up one another. There's encouragement. There's love. I don't know about you guys, but there have been so many days growing up, whether it was going on a Wednesday night or on a Sunday morning, where I wasn't having the best day. And I would get with my youth group or with whoever I was hanging out with at that time, and I would feel encouraged from them. I felt comfortable enough to share with them what was going on with my day. And they were there listening to me, loving on me, and stirring me up, saying, hey, it's going to be okay. It's like, you have a God that's always going to be with you, and that we are here with you, and that we love you. And if there's anything you need, please let us know. I don't know about you guys, but that sounds pretty familiar to me, and I hope that sounds familiar to you. That is the benefit of meeting together as a whole. We stir up one another. We shouldn't neglect it. Because when we meet together and we fellowship as one, needs are provided. We are cared for. We are loved. We are encouraged. Because united we stand, the closer we all get with one another. And finally, the third aspect I want to focus on today that unity brings is that unity brings praise. We are all created in a different way. We are all unique to one another. And what's so beautiful about God and what's so beautiful about the church is that even though we're created differently, we all have different goals, different talents, God can use all of us for one goal. He can use the different aspects of us and bring us together for one united front. And we see that in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. It reads, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, but let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, and the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. This, I love this verse, because it kind of spells it out right here. It's like we as the church are one body. Think of it as our own body. It's like with my body right now, I have hands, I have eyes, I have ears, I have feet. All have different functions. You know, hands are meant to grab things. Eyes are meant to help me see. Ears are meant to help me hear things. Legs are used to help me walk and maneuver through different situations. But while with different functions, they all have the same goal, which is to provide me as a human being to survive and be aware of things. Paul here in his letter to Rome is saying the church is the exact same way. We may have different functions, but he said, let's use them for Jesus Christ as the one body. And then he goes on to list all the different functions or the different gifts that we all may have. He says, exhortation. If you have exhortation, let him exhort. If yours is acts of mercy, let him do it with cheerfulness. If it's prophecy, let him do this. If it's being a leader, let him do it with zeal. And again, I don't know all of you individually very well. I would love to, and I would love to take that time. But I'm sure if we had the time and we sat down, we could all figure out a certain gift we all have. And we could use that gift, while different from one another, if we use it together, if all of us use our gifts together, we'll be one body. And we will have this unity that brings praise to God. Does that make sense? It's like we all have something to bring. Even if they're different, it can be used together for God's glory. And we continue to see this idea in a couple chapters over. If you turn to Romans 15, just a couple pages over, Romans 15, verses 5 through 7, this same idea is continually pushed. 15, 5 through 7, it says, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus,
Verse 6, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. God is calling us to live in harmony with one another so that we, as one, with one voice, where'd it go? With one voice can glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we're united together and we live in harmony with one another, even with our different talents and functions, we become one voice that shows the world that with that voice we praise God. And finally, for this last section, John chapter 13, verses 35. John 13, verses 35. Verse 35 reads, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And again, this one verse doesn't mention unity specifically. But from the verses we just saw, if we live in harmony with one another, if we use all of our gifts, while different but for one purpose, if we love one another, then the world will see that Jesus Christ is real and that we are disciples of him. Again, if that can be done with just, say, myself and Randy, if we're able to show love to one another and someone can see that example and see that we're disciples of Jesus, imagine if all of us here, while different, showed love with one another as a united front. Imagine how many people in the world who are lost will look at us and say, "What is it about you? There's something special about you that you're willing to love not only each other, but those of the world." I don't know about you guys, but I think the effect would be astronomical. It would be awesome to see that. So to conclude, again, we saw three aspects of what unity can do. Unity can bring strength in numbers. We saw that with the story of Jericho. And we see that if we all listen to Jesus' words individually, how strong our foundation will be. But if we all listen together, how much stronger that foundation will be. We saw that unity brings fellowship. We see that when we all come together and we provide our cares and love, our care and love for one another, people's needs are met. We feel comfortable. We can share what's been going on in our lives and we can stir up one another. And then finally, we saw that unity brings praise. While all different here, all with different talents, they can all be used together for one goal, and that's to praise God with one voice and to love one another so that the people out there can see that we are disciples of Jesus. So then, I begin to ask the question to all of us and myself, are we living this way today? Are we living as a church in unity? Well, I don't know about you guys, but the next question I ask myself is, well, how do we do that? If you have that want to live in unity and to be united together, how do we do that? Well, I want to say three things that can help us. Number one, unity requires humility. To cast aside our differences, our grudges, and our own pride so that we can see the bigger picture of what God wants for us and what he wants for his kingdom. It isn't about you. It isn't about me. It's about God. It's about him and his kingdom. And it's not going to be spread by just you or just me, but by the collective strength of the church. Not only the church here in Pecos, but the church in Lubbock, the church in Austin, the church in Germany, the church in Brazil, the church in Mexico. If we all are together, God's kingdom will be spread. Because it's about God, it's not about us. So be humble. Have humility. Number two, connect with one another. I hope that doesn't sound scary. It's like, well, why would I want to connect with so-and-so? It's like, well, it's a commandment. We see that in 1 Corinthians 1:10, that it's a commandment by God to be unified. So connect with one another. Become devoted to people. In whatever way that fits you, I'm not out here trying to tell you, it's like, oh, you need to be an extrovert and you need to connect with one another and talk to everyone before you leave for church. No, I'm not saying that. If that's you, great. Keep doing that. But if how your talents work and what your gifts are, if that's more of a one-on-one thing or going to someone and saying, hey, is there anything I can do for you? Well, do that. Be devoted to people, guys. We can't be a united front for God if we're not willing to connect with one another. So be devoted to people. Use your talents to serve one another. And finally, be aware of the enemy. The world and the devil will do whatever it takes to divide us. I need you guys to understand and grasp the severity of that. He knows, Satan knows, that when we're one and when we're united, we are a threat to him. So be cautious, be on guard, all of you, all of us, with your friendships, with your family, with your marriage, and with yourself, and especially with your church, because Satan's going to do whatever it takes to divide us. And when we're divided, we're weak, we fall, we're easier to take advantage of. So be on guard, be cautious. Put on the armor, use the tools that God has provided you through the Word of God to defend yourself against his attacks. Understand that unity is a beautiful thing. And that's something that we should all strive for. Everyone in this room, including myself, we must strive for unity. Because unity brings so much to our lives, guys. It is so much more, and there's so much more about unity that we didn't even get the chance to talk about. If we had enough time, we could spend hours about speaking about the different examples and blessings that unity has brought to us in our own individual lives. But I encourage you, find a passion for unity. Find a passion for people and one another. It will lead you to a more deep and amazing relationship, not only with each other, but with God. To finally close, to go back to my example from the very beginning, you know, Captain America: Civil War. And again, if you haven't seen the movie, that's fine. But again, a group of superheroes that were divided because of differing ideals. And we see the consequence of that later. Because that superhero group was separated and divided, there was a threat that came to Earth. That no matter how hard they tried to fight it, because they were separated, they ended up losing. And many lives were lost. But because of that situation, because of that consequence, their eyes were finally opened. And they saw the value that it doesn't matter about their personal grudges. It doesn't matter if they disagreed on something. They saw the bigger picture. And it required for them to come back together and be a unified team once again. And the moment they did that, guys, when they faced that threat again, they were able to overcome it. Not by themselves, but together. Again, if you're not a fan of superheroes, that's fine. But the point is, when we're divided, we're not going to accomplish anything. There's just going to be more destruction. But if we're together, if we're united as a church, as God's kingdom, there's nothing that we can't overcome together. United we stand, divided we fall. I don't really like that. But united we stand in Christ. Divided, we will never fall. Sweet are the promises of God.